We're here on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, Boy Rav Ashi, a few lines down from the top of the page. The suffix of Rav Ashi, Yesh Shinui Litzroros L'Ravia Nezek, O Ein Shinui Litzroros L'Ravia Nezek. We said in the case of Tzroros, according to the Chachomim of Sumchus, based on the Halacha Moshe Misina, you pay Chatzi Nezek. And that comes under regel, which means tsoros is urcha. The animal goes and it shoots out pebbles and it damages in a way that we can anticipate it. It's regular, it's common, and you pay chatzi nezek. But what happens, asks Rav Ashi, if you have a case of chatzi nezek tsoros bishinui, which is something unusual. And now, should we take the chatzi nezek and split it in half? And he only pays a quarter of the nezek. In other words, what we're really saying is, in effect, that shinui has a din of tamus, and tamus pays chatzi nezek. And in the case of tzoros, where the nezek shalom is really chatzi nezek, that's the maximum you pay for being mishuna. And we introduce the concept of tam paying chatzi nezek. You pay chatzi nezek of the chatzi nezek. So take, for example, if the animal kicks up tzoros by kicking down into the karka, it's not like the animal's walking and tzoros memela fly, but rather the animal actually does something unusual by kicking in the ground. In that case, do we say the old halacha of chatzi nezek tzoros kicks in, or do we say no? The compensation in this case is only a quarter of the nezek, and if we get down a little bit deeper below the surface, perhaps we can analyze the two tzedim of Rav Ashi in the following way. There are two definitions that are plausible with regard to chatzi nezek tzoros, and one is to say the chatzi nezek tzoros is b'toras Muad, which means that chatzi nezek tzoros is completely natural, or shall we say commonplace, expected, and that we use the term muad for that. That's the concept of muad. The Torah potted you up from half the nezek and say you only pay half. But then if you take a muad and you make it into mishuna, then half of the nezek of muad, in this case, would be chatzi nezek. And the chatzi nezek of chatzi nezek is reva nezek. So again, just to summarize, the tzad to say in Rav Ashi's suffix that you pay only a revia nezek is based on the premise that chatzi nezek tzoros is b'toras muad. And if muad engenders for tzoros its full compensation of half of the nezek, half the damage, then tamus or mishuna in this muad context would engender a quarter of the nezek. The other tzad is to say no, that the chatzi nezek of tzoros is midin tamus. In other words, the Torah itself calls it a shinui, and in so far as it's a shinui, you pay chatzi nezek. So the miktas, that element of change here, and instead of gufo, it's kocho, that reduces the tashlumin for the case of tzoros from nezek shalim to chatzi nezek. So it's really midin tamus, and that's whenever you chayev in tzoros, you chayev midin tamus. So you pay that chatzi nezek. We're not going to take tamus and divide tamus into half. You know, if he's chayev in the first sabbatoros muad, so you can split the muad into half by saying that there's tamus in relationship to the muad. That's if chatzi nezek is chayev b'toras muad. If on the other hand we say chatzi nezek is chayev b'toras tam, then that would include. That would include even the case of ba'ata b'karka, meaning that there is a shinui, because from the get-go, that's what chatzi nezek tzoros is all about. It's all about a case of shinui. Again, it's not a full shinui, but it is a miktsas shinui. We have here a Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz who formulates the suffix of the Gemara of Rav Ashi in the following way. He says, even if we assume the halacha of Tzroros is a halacha of Shinui, then we could say, he says, that if it's a Shinui, then li'olam, in all circumstances, you pay chatzi nezek. Because all types of tzroros are just simply permutations, simply different expressions of shinui. And I think that's similar to what we were saying before, then you pay b'toras tamos. Oh, he says the other side is, li'olam yesh l'shal v'nizkei tzroros, chatzi mom shu chayv l'shal v'nizkei gufo. And therefore, in the case of a regular tzoros, you pay chatzi nezek. In the case of tzoros mishuna, you should pay reva nezek. And perhaps what he's saying here is that the chiyuv of chatzi nezek tzoros is b'toras muad. The Gemara says, tifshot lei midarava. Can we tip the scale in Rav Ashi's suffek based on Rava? To boy Rava, yesh hadol etzoros, o ein hadol etzoros. The fact that Rava postulates a possibility of hadol etzoros must mean that he's operating midin tamus, which means, as we said before, that if Chatzin Ezek Tzoros is B'Toros Tamus, then it makes no difference whether or not it's this kind of Shinui, that kind of Shinui. He's always paying B'Toros Tamus. And how do I know that Rava understands and defines Chatzin Ezek Tzoros as Tamus? From the fact that he wants to add or impose upon Tzoros a din of Hadah, which means to jack up the penalty, the payment from Chatzin Nezek to Nezek Soros, to Nezek Sholim in Soros after the third expression or the third implementation of such a Hezek. And from Rava, therefore, we could derive the conclusion that Chatzin Nezek Soros is always Chatzin Nezek. It starts with Tammuz and it ends with Tammuz. You could have Shinui upon Shinui. It makes no difference if it's Chatzin Nezek Tzoros. That's exactly what it was. And if, for example, you were to argue the opposite, that according to Rava, on a case of Tzoros Mishunim, if it's that's the suffix of Rav Ashi Mishuna, he would pay only a Reva Nezek, then how could it possibly be that after Hadas HaBehema three times, it jumps up to Nezek Sholem? I mean, that would be skipping, you know, that's like going too far, or too fast, too far, and a jump. In other words, if Tom pays only a Reva Nezek, according to that side, which means Yesh Shinu L'Tzoros L'Shalim Nezek Revia Nezek, then how could it be that according to one side, at least in Rava Sufik, Yesh Adol, it sort of means after the third time pays Nezek Sholem, to go from Revia Nezek, and in one fell swoop to Nezek Sholem, that's a Pella? And therefore the Gemara thinks it's more logical to assume within the framework of Rava that Ein Shinu L'Tzoros L'Shalim Revia Nezek. And again, that's because he pays B'Toras Tamus, and the process of Hadar, says Rava, can be superimposed on the basic Tamus of Chatzin Nezek Tzoros. And now, Rav Ashi is going to, in a sense, defend himself and deflect this Raya from Rava. Dilma, says Rav Ashi, Rava imtim tzaloma kamar. Rava, of course, had a suffix about Hadar L'Tzoros. And it was a kind of an imtim tzalomar. Let's explain what we think the Gemara means by imtim tzalomar. Rava had a suffix with regard to two issues. Number one, Shinu L'Tzoros, and Hadar B'Tzoros. And what Rava was arguing is that imtim tzalomar ain Shinu B'Tzoros. It means that Tzoros always pays, even with a Shinui, a Chatzi Nezek, and not a Revia Nezek. and it means therefore that Chatzi Nezek Tzoros is Midin Tamus. Then Imtim Saloma, Rava has now a suffolk. What happens after the third time the animal does this Tzoros kind of job? Yesh Hada L'Tzoros Ho Ein Hada, which means that no matter how many times and how many repeat performances there are on the part of this animal, nevertheless, it always remains maximum ceiling of Chatzi Nezek. So really, Rava's suffolk is based on an Imtim Tzolomar. He's not definite that Ein Shinu L'Tzoros, and you always pay a Chatzi Nezek, and there's no such thing as Revir Nezek. He's not sure about that. He vacillates on this point, just as Rav Ashi was misupik about it. But if you will argue theoretically, or somehow you'll tip the scale, you prove that Ein Shinu L'Tzoros, which means that in all cases Tzoros is Chatzi Nezek, even if there's a Shinu, it means you pay B'toras Tamus. Tamus equals Chatzi Nezek. Now, Rav wants to know, well, can I jack up the Tamus to Nezek Sholem through a process of Hadah when the animal repeats itself three times over? Boy Rav Ashi, this we've seen in the past. Koach Kochol Sumchus, what's the status of Koach Kochol according to Sumchus? Meaning, Sumchus holds that in Kocho, the classical scenario of Tzoros, you pay Nezek Sholem. What happens if the animal kicks up pebbles hit the Kli bounces off, a piece of the Kli bounces off, it hits and breaks another Kli? What would Sumchus say about Koach Kocho? How far is Sumchus willing to go with imposing a Nezek Sholem payment in Tzoros? That's only maybe Kocho, but what about Koach Kocho? And now the Gemara analyzes the suffix of Rav Ashi, mi gomir halacha umukila b'koach kocho. Maybe even Sumchus had received this halacha, which we've seen in this tradition, that you pay Chatzi Nezek on Tzoros, except that as opposed to the Chachamim, Sumchus understood that halacha, which we've seen in Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, is limited to the case of koach kocho. O Dilma lo gomer halacha klal. Sufis didn't have this halacha l'moshe misinai of Chatzi Nezek in the case of Tzoros. And therefore he holds that the Baal HaBehema should pay Nezek Sholem. And if that be the case, then we can take it a step further and apply it to Koach Kocho. Meaning, Koach Kocho is a logical extension and by analogy could be identical with Kocho. If the Zalach L'Moshe Misinai, which even Sumchus accepted, meaning Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, Sumchus understood that in order to do damage control on this Zalach L'Moshe Misinai of Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, let's limit it to the case of Koach Kocho, where there's a little bit less of a Maisa Hezek on the part of the animal, a little less perhaps of responsibility on part of the owner of the animal. So there we'll apply and we'll match up the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Chatzi Nezek Tzoros with Koach Kocho. Or maybe no. Sumchus was operating in a vacuum. He didn't have the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Chatzi Nezek Tzoros. And he thought that Tzoros should be Chayev. Maybe there was a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, you're Chayev in Tzoros. Yes, that's the Chiddush. But once that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai was given in the Zachiyuv of Tzoros, then there's no reason why we shouldn't apply and extend that Chiyuv of Tzoros even to Koach Kocho. The Rush has a whole discussion here in Simon Beis. The Rif doesn't bring this suffix down in his halachas. And it could be, says the Rush, because we don't pass in halacha like Sumchus. And therefore there's no real nafkamina to this suffix. This suffix only applies within the framework of Sumchus. And that's what Rav Ashi was vacillating back and forth about according to Sumchus with regard to Koach Kocho. The Rush wants to say that nevertheless there is a great nafkamina to this suffek, because it seems clearly from Rav Ashi that we could judge the nezek of Koach Kocho both in the case of Adam and Behema as Kocho Mamish, and we could be Mechayev the Bailim the owner of the mazik to pay in the case of kol kolcho. The suffik, according to Sumchus, was that if he didn't accept at all the halacha of Moshe Misinim Chatzinezik Tzoros, therefore kol kolcho should be judged and defined as kolcho, and you pay nezik sholem. Or did Sumchus admit that there was halacha of Moshe Misinai to lower the tashlum, the payment, in the case of Tzoros, to a chatzi nezek? And based on that, you might want to say that the case of the halacha of Moshe Misinai that lowers the chiv tashlum down to the level of chatzi nezek was talking about koach kocho. So it could be that one could argue that according to Chachamim, there's no place for this suffik, and therefore behema that was mazik with koach kocho certainly should be chayev chatzi nezek because of the law of chatzi nezek tzoros. And there's no difference in effect between tzoros of kocho and tzoros of koach kocho. So that's something that the Rif Lechora should have pointed out. He should have added to his codes, because even according to the Chachamim, there's a gevaldige chiddush here that Koach Kocho would pay Tzoros Chatzi Nezek like Kocho. The Mishnah says, and we're going to read that part of the Mishnah that now the Gemara is going to analyze. Hoysa Miva'etes. Okay, we're talking about in the first case here in this part of the Mishnah. Mevaetis means the animal was kicking kalim. You get the impression that there are no pebbles going out flying in any direction. There's a direct contact between the regular behema and the utensil, the kli that was broken. Oh, then the Mishnah goes on to give a second scenario. Shahayu tzroros menatzin mitachas ragleh. The animal was kicking up pebbles, shooting them out. V'shovas hakelim, destroys utensils. Mishalim, the Mishnah passes, you pay chatzi nezek. And now the Gemara wants to analyze and offer two suggestions in the two cases here, the two scenarios. Yiboyelu, who says the Gemara, we have the following suffix. Hechi ka'amar. What exactly was the Mishnah intending to convey over here? Was it its intention to say, Hoysam, if I had this, number one, it was kicking kalim, the zika bibi uta, and it directly broke these kalim by kicking them, has nothing to do with hatozas tsroros? Oh, or is it possible, tsroros ki'ur chayuhu? In the second scenario here, again, this is all one side in the suffix, the second scenario is that while the animal is walking, it shot off tzroros. And on that, the Mishnah says, regarding both cases, mishalim chatzi nezek. Now, we're going to have to assume that in the first case, we're not dealing with tzroros, so where does chatzi nezek come in? The answer is that biut, on kalim at least, is something unusual, and therefore it's nizkei keren, whereas in the second case, it's not something mishuna, it's something urche or darcho bekach, but since it was through tzoros, you pay chatzi nezek. And it turns out now that the Mishnah is assuming that in tzoros you pay chatzi nezek, which in and of itself is okay, rabbonanhi. That means that this Mishnah is authored by the Rabbanan against Sumchus, and Tzoros engenders through the Halacha Mishnah a chiyuv of Chatzi Nezek, not more than Chatzi Nezek. O Dilma, perhaps you can offer a different suggestion of the Mishnah. Hoysa mevaetes v'tiza bibi'uta, that even in the first scenario in this Mishnah, it was a case of Tzoros. Oh, or it was a case of kicking up karka, tzroros machmas biut, is mishalem chatzi nezek. In both these cases, since it's lav urche, you pay keren, you pay under the law of keren. Now, if you take the second approach, Ha-ki-urche, had it been a regular hezek, not this kind of unusual case where the animal starts kicking and starts digging its feet into the ground, is then mishalim nezek sholim. Ah, you would pay nezek sholim mani sumchusi. That means that on an orche case, not this unusual case of kicking kalim and breaking kalim and so forth and so on, but a normal case where the animal's walking and sends forward pebbles, then you would pay nezek sholim. So according to the second sad in the Gemara Ziboilu, mani sumchusi, it must be that the author of our Mishnah is sumchus, that in this case, sroros, if they're normal and expected, then you pay nezek sholim. Toshma, let's look at the sefer of this Mishnah. Mi sefer, dorsa ala kli ushvaroso, v'nofal hashever al kli acher ushvaro, al rishon mishalim nezek sholim, v'al achron chatzi nezek. So the first kli that the animal hits directly, that's called regel, and you pay nezek sholim. Then a piece of that first kli flies out and breaks the second kli. On the second kli, which is toros, you pay chatzi nezek. V'i sumchus mi islei chatzi nezek. The sumchus never had chatzi nezek in toros. So the sefer, therefore, is not sumchus, but rather the chachamim. And therefore, we're forced, we have no choice but to assume that the authorship of the resha is also the chachamim. Therefore, we'd have to go back to the first sad in the Gemara's Safek, namely that the first case, the first ofen, is Nizke Keren, because that was a Be'ita directly onto the Kli, and break the Kli directly, that's unusual, that's Mishuna, that's Keren. And the second, shall we say, scenario is a case of darko, kedarko, that's normal, that's chatzi nezek tzoros. And that's all the Rabbonon. V'chi tema, maybe you'll argue and reject this proof, and maybe perhaps the sefer could be reconciled with sumchus. And when the Mishnah says rishon, that you pay nezek sholim in the rishon, it's not the kli that was directly hit by the animal, by the feet of the animal, but rather rishon lahatoza, the first one that got the thrust of the pebbles, and you pay nezek sholim for the first kli like sumchus. So the Mishnah really is saying that hasheni, that with regard to the second kli, you pay chatzi nezek. Why? Because sheni la'toza, because it's a shever, a piece of broken shard from the first utensil that flew out and broke the second kli. And shani le l'sumchus ben kocho l'koach kocho. This would tip the scale regarding the original suffix of Ravashi. What is sumchus's view on koach kocho? Now we're saying that sumchus is differentiating in the nezek of tzroros between koach, where you pay nezek sholem, as opposed to the damage that was koach kocho, where you don't pay more than chatzi nezek. Is memela, if we're saying that the sefer of the Mishnah is now authored by sumchus, you could also explain the resha as referring to tzroros mishunim, and it also reflects the shita of sumchus, that even the case of mevaetes is also a case of mishunim, when it says tzroros minatzim itachas ragleo, it's referring to a case of mevaetes bekarka. If you recall, we said that when the animal digs its feet into the karka, that's mishuna. And that's the pshat in our Mishnah, that you pay You pay chatzi nezek in the first two cases of the Mishnah of Hoysim Vayetes because of Karen. Had it been Urche, you would pay nezek shalem because of Sumchus. And the Seif is also Sumchus, but in the case of Koach Kocha. But then we have a problem, because Rav Ashi, if you remember, was left with a doubt. The Gemara, in fact, Paskin Teiku that we saw yesterday. Elohod, the boy Rav Ashi, the Suffolk of Rav Ashi about Koach Kocha and Sumchus, the Sumchus, whether it's Kokocho Domi or Lavka Kokocho Domi, Tifshalei de Lavka Kokocho Domi, it's a little bit strange that now Rav Ashi, in a sense, was totally oblivious to the Sefer of our Mishnah. We just logically proved that the Sefer of the Mishnah is where the second Keli you pay Chatzin Nezek, that's because it's Koach Kokocho and Sumchus is Moda in Koach Kokocho that you only pay Chatzin Nezek and not more. So we're left with a Pella here. The Rav Ashi is not quoting the Mishnah's Araya. So the Gemara says, you know what? There's no real clear-cut proof from our Mishnah regarding Rav Ashi's Suffolk. Why? Rav Ashi kirabonon mukile. Rav Ashi really has the possibility of saying that the Mishnah reflects the Sheet of the Chachamim, which again has no relevance, no bearing to his Suffolk about Kokocho l'sumchus, uboile hachi. And we should really reinterpret the two possible interpretations of the Mishnah in a slightly different way. And Hoysa Mavetis Vitiza Bibiuta Otsroras Kurchayu, what we're talking rather about in the Mishnah is the case of a behemoth that was kicking and it damaged through its kicking, or it sent out Tsroros ki'ur chayhu in a normal way while it was walking, and you pay chatzi nezek for that. Again, this is all according to the Rabbanon, of course, that chatzi nezek tsroros is the halacha Moshe Sinai. Ha-machmas biut, if on the other hand there was a kind of atozas tsroros which was not b'derech hilucha, but again, as we described before, the animal digs his feet into the ground and sends pebbles flying and breaking kalim in all directions, is that would be a revia nezek. You'd only pay, in that case, of tzoros mishunim, one quarter of the nezek. You take the chatzi nezek of the chachamim, zalokal mashtina, split it in two, and you end up with a quarter of a nezek, as we discussed at great length yesterday. V'yesh shinui b'tzoros l'shalim revia nezek. O Dilma, the other side of, or the other, shall we say, possibility of interpreting our Mishnah is Hoysa Mivaetes Vizika Bibiuta. The animal was kicking and it damaged with a direct kick against the direct hit against the Kli. Oh, Sroros Machmas Biut. Or the animal sent out pebbles as a result of its kicking is chatzi nezek v'ein shinui litzoros l'shalem revia nezek. That's really where you can vacillate back and forth in interpreting our Mishnah of mivayetes ohayu tzoros menatzim itachas ragleo. We're talking about a situation of shinui b'tzoros, and with that, in effect, take the chatzi nezek tzoros and divide it by two, like Shar Tam, which only pays half. Half of half is a quarter. Take it. And we come to no definite conclusion on this suffix. Boy mine Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal me Rav As Mirav Ami the Ami le Mirav Chio Bar Abba. Here we have the suffix of Rabbi Abba. What's the suffix? Hoysa, the animal was malechz makom. It was going in a place where there were lots and lots of pebbles. She'i efshala ella imkain minatezes uvata. It's impossible for the animal to walk in such a place, kedarka, unless it sends out sroros. But Ubata, instead of sending out the tzoros in a normal way, you know, Tokdei Alicha, it dug its feet into the ground and started kicking up tzoros, V'tiza, V'zika. And it damaged the keli. Ismao, how do we judge this case? Is this called tzoros, the regular classical tzoros, or is this tzoros al yidei shinui? And the Gemara understood that in such a nezek, it should be subsumed under the category of nizkei tzoros. But which kind of nizkei tzoros is this? What we call nizkei tzoros regilim, your classical nizkei tzoros, or should we call it mishunin? And that's the nature of this suffek. And the Gemara says the following. Let's analyze the two parts to the suffix, the two sides to the suffix. Kevan de efshala. Shall we say that since in this case it would have to be matiz tzoros because there's no other way possibly of walking there? It's so full of pebbles. And even though it was bata, but nevertheless, since we anticipate the tzoros, we don't have to go into the psychology of the animal here and ask, you know, was this an unusual mood or yetzahar of the animal? No, it has nothing to do with that. We have to look at the picture, you know, take a video camera picture of it and decide whether or not there should be tzoros flying. And if there should be, that's called urche. Odilma, says Gemara the other side, hashta mios machmas biut kominatzo tzoros. Here, the animal is not doing it the normal way, although we anticipated that tzoros would fly, but the way the animal befall in actuality implemented this act of tzoros was through a biut situation. And biut, as we said before, is a shinui. And therefore, in this case, we should consider it not midin tzoros, as in the case of regular tzoros, but rather tzoros al yidei shinui. And Rashi explains in two different ways what the nafkamina would be between the two tzadim of the Gemara regarding a case where the animal was in a situation where there were so many tzoros el al yidei tzoros. Is one interpretation of Rashi was that the nafkamina would be if we go according to that side in the suffek of yesh shinu l'tzoros l'revia nezek, how do we deal with this case? Is this case to be defined as shinu because the animal after all dug its feet in and did it in a strange way? And that would mean we have to reduce the normal chatzi nezek tzoros payment to revia nezek. And then Rashi has a different interpretation, which is quite intriguing, and he goes back to the suffix about whether there's ha'oda in tzoros. So let's say we have tzoros mishunim, and is there a gzeres hakosev of the halacha l'moshe b'sina that you always pay chatzi nezek for tzoros and that's it? That's absolute, that's engraved in stone? Or do we say no, that chatzi nezek tzoros is sort of like tamus, and if there's a process of ha'oda, then it becomes nezek sholem? And therefore, if in this case we define it, despite the absolute abundance, a myriad abundance of tzoros, we still define it as shinui, because the animal did something unusual by digging its feet into the ground and sending out pebbles. If we treat it as shinui, then we could automatically activate that possibility called yesh ha'oda l'tzoros, and after three times this kind of activity, we jack it up to nezek shalem. In any event, the Gemara concludes teku boy mine another suffik with regard to tzoros. Rabbi Yirmiya asked Mirav Zera, hoysa malechus b'shus harabim v'tiza v'zika mahu. What's the deal as far as Rishus HaRabim is concerned with regard to tzoros? Meaning, if we subsume and define tzoros as regel, then there should be a patur in Rishus HaRabim. So if the animal kicks up pebbles in Rishus HaRabim and breaks kelim in Rishus HaRabim, it should be potur. But if, on the other hand, I would assume that we're not dealing with regel, but we're dealing with a kind of a Karen situation in Chatzi Nezik Tzoros, then in Rishus HaRabim would be Chayev. So the Gemara goes through this analysis right now. LeKeren midaminen le v'chayeves. Should we assume that Chatzi Nezik Tzoros is subsumed and defined under Keren? And the reason for that, because where is Chatzi Nezik coming from if not from Keren? No, if that be the case, then it would be Chayev in Rishus HaRabim. But if Odilma Toloda deregel hu, we go the full 9 yards and say that this is, you know, Tzoros is really a classical case of Kedarka, it's Urche, it's Mamish Regel, and therefore Ptura and Rishus HaRabim. Amalei Reb Zera responded to Reb Yirmiah's question, and he said, Mistavra, it makes sense to me that it's a Tolod of the Kerenu. He doesn't seem to quote any proofs, but Reb Zera's intuitive feeling is that Tzoros is really Keren, that Tzoros is really Regel, Tolod of the Regel, who, and therefore it would be Potter and Shusarabim. Now Reb Yirmiah turns back to Reb Zera with another question. He says, all right, now you're telling me that Tzoros would be Potter and Shusarabim like Regel, like the Av of Regel. Is what about Hitiza Birshus HaRabim Vihizika Birshus HaYochid? What happens if the animals sent out pebbles in Rishus HaRabim, but they flew all the way into the Chatzar Nizak, and that's where they damaged his kelim or whatever they damaged? Is Mahu? What do we say about this case? Shall we judge it by the Makom Haschola, by the place where this entire Hezek began, which would mean the location in which the animal was standing and kicking pebbles, and therefore, since again the origin here was in Rishus HaRabim, therefore Ptura. Oh, or should we say no? Let's judge this Hezek by the place where the Hezek actually took place, and if it was in Rishus HaNizak, then there would be a chiyuv for Chatzi Nezek Tzoros. Amalei, Reb Zera responded to Reb Yirmiah, Akira Enkan, Hanocha Yeshkan. If you're saying that the animal would be potur for sending, you know, if we go back to the origin of the Tzoros and the shooting off of the pebbles, that took place in Rishus HaRabim. That's called Akira. Akira means when you lift it up from its stationary place. Is then, how can you possibly say that the Hanocha will be called a Hanocha in Rishus HaNizak, in the Chatzar HaNizak? That's impossible, because if there was no Akira, there's no Hanocha. If you can't be Mechayev on the Akira Satzroros, which in this case was in Rishus HaRabim, then it's impossible to be Mechayev for the Hanocha Satzroros, meaning the place, the location where the Tzroros actually did their damage, which in this case is Bechotzer HaNizak. So basically, Rabbi Zera's answer to Rabbi Yirmiah's Safek is that they cannot be a possibility of saying that you can engender a new Mechayev based on the fact that the Keli that was broken was in the Chatzar HaNizak. You can't say that, because every case of Masik, you have to go back to the Maisa Hezek. And the Maisa Hezek on the part of the animal, the Behema Mazekes, was in Rishus HaRabim, therefore it have to be put. Esvei Rav Yirmiah asks a kasha now on what Rav Zera had to say, based on a brisa. The brisa says, if the animal is walking in its way and it sent out tzroros and damage, bein birshus hayochid, bein birshus ram chayev, the owner of the behema is chayev for damages, and it matters not whether it took place in birshus hayochid or in birshus haravim. So in this case of tzroros, of itiza tzroros, there's no distinction between Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. My love, so Gemara says, if we want to clarify the meaning of this brisa, it would probably mean he tiza birshus arabim, he zika birshus arabim, that the entire hezek from soup to nuts, from A to Z, took place in rishus arabim, and therefore, even though the nezek took place in rishus arabim, nevertheless he's chayv to pay chatzi nezek. Clearly, this brisa maintains that you are chayev for nezek tzoros even in rishus arabim, which means that because of that element of shinui, the element of chatzi nezek, we define it as keren and you're chayev therefore in rishus arabim. The Abzera responds that he says lo. He tiza b'rishus haram v'zika b'rishus hayochid. The price is not talking about that case, but rather a case where the animal shoots out its pebbles from rishus harabim and damages the victim. The utensil that was smashed was in the rishus hayochid, and in such a case, the bailam achayv to pay nezek sholem. I'm sorry, the bailam achayv to pay chatzi nezek b'toras tzoros, but that's only because the nezek took place in rishus hayochid, which even under the category of regel is chayev. But if the hezek was in rishus harabim, then enochinami the baal habeim of the baal amasik would be potter, because there's no chiyuv of regel in rishus harabim. We're talking about subsuming and identifying chatzi nezek tzoros as regel mamish. Rav Yirmiyah turns back and he asks a kashya, Rav Zeva, Amrit, Akira ein kan, anocha ein kan. After all, you yourself came up with this svara that in a case where the hezek starts in Rishus HaRabim, the hezek of Tzoros, there's no possible mechayev. The mechayev always has to go back to the hitiza, to the act of sending out the pebbles. And if there's no Akira as a mechayev, then there's no Hanocha is a mechayev. You can't start a mechayev with the fact that the pebble hit the kli and broke it. If the hatoza, when the animal shot off this pebble, there was no mechayev because it was in akira b'shus harabim. Amalei, so Rav Zeira responded, Hadri B, I changed my mind with regard to this din. I rescinded my original position. And now I'm of the opinion that there's no exemption as far as the obligation of the Baal Behemoth to pay Nezikin unless the Nezik took place in Rishus HaRabim. But if the Atoza took place in Rishus HaRabim, the Hezik took place in Rishus HaYoch, despite the fact that Akira Ein Kan, nevertheless, Hanocha Yesh Kan, and there would be a Chiyuv. So again, as far as defining Tzroros is concerned, Rav Zeira's position is it's a subcategory of Nizkei Regel, and it's governed by Nizkei Regel, and therefore you're part of Rishus HaRabim. But if Lu Yitzuyer, the actual Hezek, takes place in Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaNizak, then Rav Zeira says, if I completely suspend the principle of Ein Kan Akira Ein Kan Hanocha, if I could just analyze and focus on the Hanocha as an independent Mechayev, since the Hezek took place in the Rishus HaNizak, there would be a Chiyuv. Now, we've already mentioned earlier the Rosh in Siman Beis here in Perek Sheni, and here the Rosh goes a step further and he wants to know how to jive this whole sugya of Rav Zeira with the sugya of Basar Meikar Azlina, Basar Tovar Mon Azlina. According to Rabbah, the final conclusion is Basar Meikar Azlina. In other words, as soon as he throws the kli off the top of the roof, it's already considered destroyed. And therefore, in this case, where the Hatozas Tzroros took place in the Rishus HaRabim, we go back to the Meikara, and who cares about where the Nezek in actuality took place, namely the Rishus HaNizak, but nevertheless, the beginning of the process of Nezek was in Rishus HaRabim. So how do we understand this breakthrough of Rav Zeira? And perhaps the answer lies in the pasuk itself. It says ubir bistei acher, and the word ubir means that's the fall where it happened. It was in stei acher. It was in Rishus HaNizak. And in this case, even though that Tazus Soros was in Rishus HaRavim, but nevertheless, it was ubir bistei acher. There was, in fact, a hezek Rishus HaNizak. Now again, Rabotai, we've mentioned over and over again that there's an element of Gzeras HaKosef here in defining the office of the Zikin and the rules that regulate them in terms of what you pay, when you pay, and how much you pay. And here's another example of that, because if the Hatozah source was in Rishus HaRabim, we always say that a person has Rishus, he has permission to take his animals in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore in the case of Regel, he's Potur for Nezikim in Rishus HaRabim. Why not say the same thing here? We're clearly subsuming or subcategorizing Tzroros under the Nezek of Regel, because of the element of Urche, it's natural, it's Derech Hilucho, and it's Urche. So where's the Chov HaShmir in Rishus HaRabim? What are we going to say? Shmiras on Alech on Rishus HaRabim on Regel? That's Mufka. Everybody's allowed to take their animals in Rishus HaRabim. And there doesn't seem to be any set of conditions, you know, in that Heted to take your animal in Rishus HaRabim. In other words, can we impose a chiyuv shmirah and say shmiras on alechem rishus harabim because of the possibility that it may send out tzroros into rishus hanizak? You have to watch the animal. You don't have to watch the animal. In any event, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks an additional question on Rav Zera. Esve, the Mishnah says darsa ala kli ushvarato. Is Allah Rishon Mishalim Nezek Sholim V'Allah Achron Mishalim Chatzi Nezek? So the first Kli, which was destroyed directly by the goof of the animal, you pay Nezek Sholim. That's regal. But as far as the second, you know, as far as the Kli, the second Kli being damaged, is that's Tzoros. That's not a direct contact with the, you know, between the animal and the victim and the utensil. Vitani Allah, and we have a brisa with regard, you know, embellishing this mission of Amedvar Mamurim. When do we say that on the first kli he pays nezek shalom, the second one he pays chatzi nezek? That's only Bershus HaNizak. If the hezek took place in Rishus HaNizak, Avol Rishus HaRab, Malo Rishon Ptura, V'al Achron Chayeves. Fascinating halacha over here. What we're saying is that paradoxically, the case of Tzoros is more of Machayev than Nizkei Gufo. Because basically what we're saying is that if the animal was Mazik in Rishus HaRabim, then on the first kli, since it's a case of regel, you put in Rishus HaRabim. But paradoxically, because the kli itself broke and sent forth a broken shard that would destroy the second kli, he has to pay for the second kli because that's already a case of tzroros, and on tzroros yichayev chatzi nezek, and the Gemara says, my love, Birshus HaRabim, Vizika Birshus HaRabim, which means that you pay for Nizke Tzroros in Rishus HaRabim. The first Kli, which was broken directly by the animal's Koach, without any, you know, any intermediary, in that case you're telling me, well, it's Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, since we're talking about Nizke, in this case, regel, you don't pay Birshus HaRabim, but now where the animal does nothing more than just watch, so to speak, the shard shoot out from the first kli and destroy the second kli, well, at this point, the Gemara thinks, Rabbi Yirmiyah thinks, that that's a case of Tzoros, and on the second kli, you actually have to pay. Again, let's say pay chatzi nezek. So Rav Olson, it's like mind-boggling. You see, this is an example of how abstract the halachas of nezikin go. You know, they really climb up into a world of abstraction. You know, the behema stomps on a kli, and for that you're potter because the rishus harab, and that's called regel. And yet the what happens as a result, you know, is sort of like a chain, if you will, a chain reaction, a domino theory. The first kli shoots off and destroys the second kli. For that second kli, you have to pay. Even though you're put on the first kli because Rishu Zerabim, but on the second kli, you're chayav. Why? Because that's called tsroros. And Rabbi Yiriyah maintains that tsroros, insofar as they pay chatzi nezek, they have a din of kikeren. And that's why there's a chiyuv in Rishu Zerabim. So on the second kli, there's going to be a chiyuv based on halacha of tsroros, whereas since we're dealing, whereas begufo, since we're dealing with the mazik of regel, you're part of b'shus haravim, so he doesn't pay for the first kli, which was directly hit by the goof of the animal, because that's regel, and that's part of b'shus haravim. Is Rav Zera responds, lo, that's not the case of the braisa, but rather, he teza Bershus Rabim, v'hizika Bershus Yochid. The case was that the animal shot out pebbles in a Rishus Rabim, and these pebbles hit their target, their victim, their utensil in a Rishus Yochid. And Rabbi Zeir is of the opinion that in such a case, the Baal HaMazik, the Baal Behema, has to pay. Why is he Chayav? And the answer is because the Hezik took place in Rishus HaNizak, in Rishus HaYochid. So Rav Yiriyah now turns back and he asks the following kashim, Rav Zeva, Amrit, Akira, Einkan, Anocha, Einkan. Again, reiterating the same kash that you, Rav Zeva, want to have a situation where you start with an Akira and you end with Anocha. And here in this case, you started with an Akira versus a Rabim. So the Akira is null and void. It doesn't generate any Chiyuv because Regel is part of a Rabim. Amalei Rav Zera says, Hadri B. And this we've seen just a few lines earlier, that I changed my mind. I rescinded my original Psak, my original view. And I don't believe, says Rav Zera, that the only way you could potter up the Baal HaBehema, because again we're dealing with tsroros as regel, is if the nezek happened with Rishus HaRabim. But if the tsroros went flying and the nezek happened with Rishus HaYochid, then you're chayev. So Rabbi Yiriyah asks an additional question raises an additional objection against Rabbi Zeira. Eini, is it possible to say such a thing, that there's no chiyuv tsroros in Rishus HaRabim? And now we turn to Daf Yutes Amud Beis. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein chatzi nezek choluk lo l'Rishus HaYochid v'lo l'Rishus HaRabim. In other words, if there's a chiyuv to pay chatzi nezek, then you're chayev whether it happened in Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, it's crystal clear that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yechayev Fenizkei Tzvoros, meaning Chatzi Nezek, in Rishus HaRab. My love, Shehitiza Rishus HaRab, Vizika Rishus HaRab. So again, Rabbi Zeira's premise was that we define and regulate Tzvoros by regel. And therefore, in Rishus HaRab, Yepoter. Rabbi Yochanan seems to say not like that, that insofar as the chiyuv for tsroros is a chatzi nezek dika chiyuv, then we consider it a little bit like a mishuna lav urche keren kind of hezek, and therefore yechayiv and rishus harabim. And Rabbi Zeira responds, lo, that's not what Rabbi Yochanan had in mind. Rabbi Yochanan's talking about a case of he tiza rishus harabim vi zika rishus hayochid. That's my case. That since the hezek befall took place
in the Rishus HaNizak. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, Yechayev. Again, the language of Rabbi Yochanan is a little bit odd. It says, Ein Chatzidezek Cholik, Lo Rishus HaRab, Yochid, Velo Rishus HaRab. I'm not sure exactly how you read Rab Zera's pshat into the words of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Hezek took place in the Rishus HaNizak. It sounds like there's no difference here. Lo Cholik Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRab. But in any event, again, what Rav Zera is saying now is reiterating his position that we don't care about the Akira. Even though the Akira, the Hatazah, was in Rishus HaRab, nevertheless, since the Chiv befall Ba'anocha was Rishus HaYochid, that's where the pebbles landed, therefore Yechayev. And again, the Shaka V'Tariyah here, V'o Amrit, Akira Ein Kan, Hanocha Ein Kan. Now, as you yourself, Reb Zera, said that there's no such thing as a Hanocha Machayevus without an Akira Machayevus, and here are the Akiras in Rishus HaRab. Omalei Hadri B. I pulled out, you know, I changed my mind. And now I believe that there's no Ptur in the Baal Behema unless the Nezek took place in Rishus HaRab. But if the Hatazah took place and flew from Rishus HaRab to Rishus HaYochid, Yechayev. Another answer to this question, the Gemara is going to offer a Lishna Basra in Rabbi Yochanan. Ibois Ema, you could explain it this way. Ki Yom Rabbi Yochanan, when does Rabbi Yochanan say that Yechayev, Chatzi Nezek, and it doesn't make any difference between Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYochid, is Akeren? Rabbi Yochanan was referring to the case of Chatzi Nezek, not of Tzroros, but rather of Keren Tama. And therefore, in Keren Tama, there's no difference between Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYochid. I'm not exactly sure what the Chiddush here is. Perhaps he's coming lafuke Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that if the Nezek took place in the Rishus HaNizak, right, Keren Mishunah Rishus HaNizak is Nezek Shalim Mishalim, Rabbi Yochanan wants to say, no, there's no such difference between Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaNizak as far as Keren is concerned. In the first three Negichos, you know, in the first three occasions of Hezek, you pay Chatzi Nezek. And you pay Chatzi Nezek whether or not, even if, I should say, the Nizke Keren took place in Rishus HaNizak and the Slafuki, Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara says, Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya Rav Oshaya Akila de Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, together with Rav Oshaya, was sitting at the entrance into the house of Rabbi Yehuda and Nofik Milsim. Now they had a certain discussion amongst them. One asked the question to their friend, Kishkisha biznava mahu. What happens if the animal wags its tail while it's in Rishus HaRab and it breaks kelim? Does the Baal HaBeim have to pay for that? Is it considered regel, normal, and therefore you're part of Rishus HaRab? Or shall we say no? That's unusual for the animal to break kelim with its tail. And therefore becomes a told of Keren Yechayev even in Rishus HaRabim. Amalei Idach. So the other one, we're not sure exactly who was responding to who. It was either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, two different Rabbi Yehudas. Or it could be Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Yehuda. But one of them responded to the other, V'chi yochazena biznova v'yelech. When you require a bala behema to provide shmira, it's got to be within reason, reasonable shmira. So you're telling me that if it's ein darka b'kach, then he should be chayv in Rishus HaRab b'toras keren. How could that be? Well, what is he supposed to do? Is the Baal Behema supposed to tie up the tail of the animal or hold on to the tail of the animal as he's walking with him, Rishus HaRab? That's impossible. And therefore, if you're going beyond, you're exceeding beyond the bounds, the limits of Chiyuv Shmira, then he should be potter. So the Gemara says, you've just, with that piece of logic, you've just undermined the entire parish of Keren. Ihachi Keren Nami name a goal to apply your logic, its logical conclusion. And in the case of Keren, where the animal does a negicha, and it's in Rishus Arab, the Torah says, Yechayf Tavchi Yochozena Yochazena BeKeren V'Yelech. Are you telling me that the negligence of the owner of the animal is because he should have, and he would have to be responsible to hold the animal in such a way onto his keren when it walks with the Rishus Arabim? Ah, come on, that's impossible. And therefore, we should say that in the case of Nizke Keren Rishus Arabim, Yochayev, we don't say, well, Vachiyotzenu Bekeren Yelech. That's not, you know, there's no such din of a Ptur Keren Rishus Arabim. And therefore, your logic that there should be a Ptur of Kishkisa, of Kishkisha Beznova in Rishus Arabim, because you can't expect the owner to hold on to the zanav, that's inconsistent with the halach of Keren itself. So the other one responds, Hochi Hashta, there's a difference. Keren lav urche. You can define Keren and its unique nature and its chiyuv and rishus rabbim based on lav urche. That's what defines Keren. The Torah says it's lav urche, you have to be concerned with it. Again, Chatzidezik on the first three occasions, but be that as it may, there's a chiyuv rishus rabbim. But ha, the case of Kishkisha is urche. That is what an animal does. I mean, take a look at all the animals in our neighborhood here in Katamon, all the dogs. You'll see that they wag their tails. Their tails are going back and forth. Therefore, this nezek should be defined as a told of Keren. I'm sorry, as a told of Regel. Because it's classic, it's urche, and therefore it should be potter in Rishus Arabim. So the Gemara asks, V'chi me'acher de urche mai mi boile. So you're telling me that Kishkisov is Nova, Kishkisov is urche, then what was the Shoel asking? What was the original suffix? It's certainly a told of regel, and it's potter Rishus Arabim. And the Gemara answers, Kishkush yisera mi boile. The animal is wagging its tail in a very unusual way, called meruba. Yesera means meruba, with a great deal of activity and energy, something that we're not used to, something we can't anticipate. And therefore, it might be Keren and Potter. I'm sorry, it might be Keren and the Ptur of Regel of Rishus Rav doesn't apply Yechayev even in Rishus Rav.
Boy, Rav Eina, Kishkisha ba'amasa mahu. What if the animal used its organ and moved it around in such a way in Rishus Arabim and broke kelim? Mi amrina midi dehavi akeren. This is something unusual. Keren lav yitzra katakifle. In other words, I guess the belligerent animal, the belligerent hezek of negicha in the case of Keren is something unusual. It's not like within the framework of the natural propensity of the animal, the behavior pattern of the animal. There's a yetzer tokfa. Again, this is a very interesting phrase here because we usually assume tkifas yetzer is unique to man. It doesn't apply to the animal kingdom insofar as they're not intelligent, they don't have freedom of choice. But in any event, the borrowed term perhaps of yitzro katakifle means that defines the nature of Keren. It's hachinami loshna here also. You know, you've got to introduce a kind of tkifas yetzer over here, because the normal way of behema of kiskis of hamasa is yitzra tokfa, and if it's Karen, oh Dilma, and then it'll be chayv rishus rabbi, oh Dilma, or should we say no? This is not Karen.
Karen is covered also lahazik. Ha, this case of kishkisha b'amosa is ein covered also lahazik. Now, the Riva quoted in the Sheet Mukbes asks the most fundamental question here. So what if it's ein covered also lahazik? I mean, how is it different, for example, in the case of the Tarnagolas that we had on Yutes, where it puts its head inside the kli and it lets out a very high-pitched, you know, cockle-doodle-doo, and it breaks the kli, and there's no zroim, let's say, in the kli. And we said, in such a case, that you pay chatzi nezek mishum keren, even though it's not a case of kavanos lahasik, the answer is it's ein darko b'kach, it's lav urche. So here too, if we assume that kishkisha b'amosa is lav urche, so what if it's not... if it's not kavanoso lahazik, that seems to be an irrelevant factor. You could have a chiyuv of keren even without kavanoso lahazik. And he answers the Riva the following. The Gemara suffix is definitely poshut that kishk shabamsa is not similar to regel. Regel is darko lahazik. And you can't say that hezik of behema kishkisha b'amosa is darka lahazik, and therefore for sure, if the hezik was rishus harabim, it should be chayeves. But what was Gemara's sofek? Do we consider it keren mu'edes, and therefore it should pay nezek sholem, because once it's yitzur tokfa, then it becomes darko lekashkesh b'amosa? Oh, or should we say that since it's ein kavanos lahazik, we don't want to be machmar to such extent and to classify it as keren muedes, but rather it's like keren tama, and you should pay chatzi nezek. Clearly, kishkisha b'znova is not going to be classified as regel in the sense of urche. It's something unusual. The question is, let's analyze what causes this hezek, and if it's yitzur tokfa, then there's a certain element of kedarka here, meaning in terms of the behavior pattern of the animal, we don't have to wait till it repeats itself. It's already repeated itself, so to speak. We can anticipate its repetition, and therefore it should have a din of keren muot. But the only problem is that keren muad is a unique chumrah where the Torah is very harsh and demanding it because of the fact that it repeated itself over and over and over again. And all of this is because of its kavanos lahazik. The kavanos lahazik is what gives us the room to consider it, again, if the animal proves itself to be belligerent on three occasions, a muad. Here, we're going to have to consider it a tam. Again, this is all based on the premise that we're not subsuming it under regel. It's yitzra tokfo. But yitzra tokfo is not as chomur as kavanos lahazik. And therefore, we should consider it as a tam in this case. So that's what the Gemara here is vacillating back and forth and finally concludes teku. The Mishnah says that Tarnagolim u'adim lahalech kedarkon u'lishaber. Let's go on. The Mishnah says, Hoya dalil. There's some sort of chefetz, kosher baraglov, that's connected, that's tied down to the animal's foot. Oh, or perhaps Hoya mahades u'mishabes akelim. It was dancing, it was jumping up and down, hopping on the utensils, it broke the utensils. Mishalim, in all these cases. Chatzi nezek. So somehow with this dalil case, it's not a full hezek, it becomes a chatzi nezek. I mean, what are we dealing with, tzoros over here? I mean, then the Mishnah says taka tzoros is mahades u'mishabes hakelim. That's where it shoots out pebbles and you pay chatzi nezek. But what's the case of dalil? And the Gemara now is going to assume, as we'll see, that the Mishnah really wants to say that if it's a dalil kosher, something that's connected, an object to the foot of a chicken, and this tarnagol is bringing this dalil, this object, into Sarabim and carrying it from one place to the other, if somebody trips and falls on this dalil and damages himself, there should be a chiyuv tashlum mishum nizke bar. Amar Rav Huna lo shanu elosh nikshar me'elov aval ksharo adam chayov. When do we say that there's a chiyuv of chatzi nezek? That's where there was no human intervention. We have a situation where the dalil was connected, was attached to the regal of the tarnagol. And in such a case, there's a chiyuv of chatzi nezek. Contrast, I will shoro adam, if man tied down this dalil to the foot of an animal, that's already a creation of a bar, and therefore he's chayev, he should pay nezek sholem. Now the Gemara analyzes Rav Huna's distinction. Nikshar me elov, if there was no human action, intervention to create this bar, man chayev, who's going to be chayev? Elam, if we'll say, Baal hadlil, the owner of the dalil, even in the case of Nikshar me elov, he's still responsible for his dalil as a bar. That's impossible. Why? Hechidami, idi atzne. If he had taken his dalil and tied it up and placed it in a place that's mishtamir, that should be watched, and the tarnagols came and took it away, onusu, why should he have any responsibility for creating a bar and for paying damages when he did nothing? Ve'ilo atzne, but if he didn't take this dalil and tie it up in a very hidden place, is posheahu. He left it in such a way that it would become a bar. And why does the Mishnah say that he only pays chatzi nezek? Ela chayav bala tarnagol. But rather we're going to, I mean, again, we have no other choice than to assume that it's not the bala dalil who's chayav, but rather the bal hatarnagol. And the tarnagol here is responsible for creating this takola, this bar. Is Maishna Kule Nezek Dilo? You're going to tell me that in such a case, the Mazik doesn't have to pay the entire damages. The Chsiv Ki Yiftach Ish Bar Velo Shar Bar. That's the way the Gemara dashes it later on. Ish Bar Velo Shar Bar on Daphnin Aleph. It means that an individual is Chayav, he's obligated on Nizke Bar when he created the bar, but not on Nizke Bar, which was created by a Shar. Even if it's his own char. And therefore, you don't have to pay, you would not be mechayev the bailim to pay in a case where the nizke bar of this dalil was created by the tarnagol. Is chatzi nezek nami, he should not have to pay ish bar velo shar bar. So we're really in trouble here, because by process of elimination, we cannot assume that the individual who owns the dalil should be chayev, because either he should be chayev as a poshea, because he didn't guard the dalil properly, and therefore he should pay nezek sholem, or he did put away this dalil in a safe place, and he sees onus, he shouldn't pay anything. So how do we come up with this middle of the road category where somebody's going to be chayv chatzi nezek? And the answer is, we're talking about the Baal HaTarnagol. It was his Tarnagol who created this bar by taking and taking away and dropping this dalil. Oh, if that be the case, why doesn't he pay Kulei Nezek? Ah, the answer is because it's Velo Shar Bar. He didn't create a bar. It was the Shar that created the bar. And it means that a person is Chayev, according to this Drasha, Veloshar bar, only on Nizke bar that he created that bar, but not a Nizke bar which was created by a shar, and therefore the Bialim don't have to pay the entire damage because it was the Targol that created this bar. Is Chatzi Nezik Nami? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're activating this principle of Ish bar Veloshar bar, then this is not bar as far as you're concerned. Is Chatzi Nezik Nami? You don't have to pay half the damages. Again, quoting the pasuk, Ish bar velo shar bar. Based on these kashas, the Gemara now rescinds, it reverses its understanding, its original understanding, and explains that the Mishnah is not talking about a case where someone tripped and was damaged over this dalil and the chiyuv is bar. Elamas nisin ba'adye aduye. We're talking about a chiyuv of tzvaros. What does it mean? The tarnagol, in this case through the dalil, used it as a weapon, as bullets, so to speak, as tzvaros, as stones, and it was meshaber kalim by throwing it on these kalim. And in this case, the Baal tarnagol is chayav b'toras tzvaros, and he pays chatzi nezek. That's how Rashi understands. Rabbeinu Chananel has a different understanding. Rabbeinu Chananel wants to suggest that the animal was pushing this dalil. He was pushing the dalil against kalim, let's put it that way, kind of like a domino theory, with its foot, and breaks the kalim with his dalil. That's Mishuna. That's unusual. And therefore he pays chatzi nezek midin. We didn't care it. But Rashi learns we're talking about Tzvaros of Regel, and that's why you pay Chatzines. Because either care it the way Rabbi Nachmanal has it, or Tzvaros the way Rashi has it. V'chi itmar de Rav Huna bi'alma itmar. Rav Huna did not add his comment as we originally thought, distinguishing between Nikshar Dalil Mielov or Kosher Adam in the context of the Mishnah, but as an independent statement. And the Gemara now develops it. We're talking about Dalil Hefker. No one owns this Dalil. And Rav Huna wants to know, if somebody trips and falls on this Dalil, what's its din on Rav Huna? Nikshar Mielov is Potter. But Kshoro Adam Chayav. In other words, do we define this as your bar or not your bar? And the answer is, if it was Nikshar Me'elov, if he, the owner of the Dalil, was not actively responsible for setting up for tying this object, whatever it might be, down to the foot of the Tarnagol, then the Baal Dalil is Potter. Why? Ish bar velo shar bar. But if, on the other hand, he, the human being, tied the Dalil down to the Tarnagolas, then he has to pay. Now, again, even if the Dalil is Hefker, it really makes no difference, because at the time that he ties it down to the regal of the Tarnagolas, Rashi says he picks up the Dalil and he makes a kinyan on it, and therefore he's chayv in the Nezikin. Tosa says, wait a minute, I don't understand. We're talking about bar. Bar is chayav, Bishus Arabim, even though he wasn't zocha in the bar. I mean, the bar is clearly not his. He has no ownership. And even if he was mafkir his bar, he still remains chayav. So why does Rashi make this big deal about the fact that while he, you know, as a result of picking up the dalil and tying it down to the animal's foot, he made a kinyan on the dalil and it's his? The Gemara, in any event, so that becomes Tosfos Kasha. The Gemara asks now, Mishumai Chayev. So in the case where he actively tied down the Dalil to the foot of the animal, so what is he Chayev for? He's Chayev for Bar. This doesn't make any sense, because this is what we call a Bar Mizgalgil. Bar is Chayev in the place where you created the Bar. Here, the bar was created in a totally different place. You tied it down here in place X to the animal's foot. The animal brings it or walks with it over to place location Y. That's a bar misgalgal.
and the whole Machayev of Bar is right here where you created it. Amar Rav Huna Bar Manoach. No, the reason why the kosher is Chayev Mishum Bar is because Bar Mezgal Gragiol Demagil Behema. And this we had in a sugi back on Daf Vav Amid Aleph, that the one who puts down a takol and rishus harab is chayv v'niskei bar, even if it doesn't damage here in its place, but it was dragged along by ragli behema, ragli adam, into another place, and as a result of that gilgul to another place, that's where it was a takol and somebody was damaged, you pay for that. So don't be surprised if in this case where you tie down the dalil to the foot of the animal, and the animal drags it and pushes it and takes it to a different place, Yechayev Mishum Bar, even though it's not in the original location where it created it, because it's no different than a Bar HaMizgalgel B'Ragli Odom Ragli Behema, where the din is that Yechayev for putting down that bar there, putting a Takol Rosh Sarabim, and Yechayev Mishum Bar, even though it was dragged or pushed to another location. Okay, we'll stop here.